if you sort of contemplate very heavily on this 32 parts, then you would wonder whether you want to regard any of these things as mine. You know, this 32 parts, thoroughly penetrated, one would see how much of trouble I have with this 32 parts. And would I want it again and again? So you don't want to go into another womb in that sense. And because of this excrement, you know, 32 parts, we have much trouble to earn food and things, to feed it, and to live with it, you know, can't live with this body easily, much trouble. Whatever we perceive it, it's much trouble. And so, if you sort of see that I don't want to take these things as mine, then you go to the emptiness meditation. And you would have a loving kindness for others, because that I am suffering here and now with this body, and all others are suffering with this body. And then you will have loving kindness for them, that let them be free from this this experiment, these 32 parts. And Buddha has given a good discourse, that is Dutiyasanya Sutta. And now Buddha said, amongst these seven perceptions, when developed and pursued, are of great fruit, of great benefit. They gain a footing in the deathless, have the deathless as their final end. Which seven? The perception of the unattractive, perception of death, perception of loathsomeness in food, the perception of distaste for every word, the perception of impermanent, the perception of suffering in what is impermanent, the perception of not self in what is suffering. That's what this meditation led into. Because if you understand these 32 parts, itself is disgusting, and I am full of impurities, and I have trouble because of that, would I want to regard these things as mine, which is subject to suffering? So this meditation can be taken into a very high level. If you perceive more and more in a correct way, then you are reaching fourth dhyana concentration here, if you are doing it properly. That to do that one, you need to sort of go through the 32 parts. You should be skillful in 32 parts, even by words, and going through it. And then, having gone through that one, let's say at least once, you pick up one of those parts that you can actually do very well, that you are skillful. For example, I am taking the bones in the body. If skeleton, for example, you have bones inside. So, if you leave out the flesh, blood, urine and everything, what is left with these bones? If you think about these bones, then you would perceive everyone in the world as just a skeleton, a bones. And these skeleton, now, if you imagine they walk, imagine a skeleton walking rather than a person walking. Now you get the complete nice picture of skeletons walking here and there. The whole world is a skeleton. And I will tell you that at that time, you don't have any attachment to anybody. Because why your mind get attached to these things, that you sort of do not think up to this level, you are actually thinking that this is a beautiful person, working this way, working that way. You know, the change in body shape in this way, that way. What if it's a skeleton? Just imagine for a second. Closing your eyes, you can see if a skeleton is moving, then I have no attachment to that skeleton. So having got that perception, you can see the skeleton is better. If you compare to excrement, urine and saliva and all those things, skeleton is better, pure in that respect. So if you do not have any attachment to skeleton, would you get any attachment to the other things? So, and perceiving that I have done this one, and if you perceive the whole world as that one, your mind becomes so enlarged and you don't sort of feel your sorrow at that time. You're out of this thing. Or else you can pick up something else, for example, blood. You know, if you know about the nature of the blood, it's smelly. One nurse actually told me that this the blood is the most disgusting thing for her. I mean, some people are perceiving that blood as a really good thing. Right? If you get quite a lot of blood, you can see how disgusting it is. It's the smell. She can't even tolerate. She can tolerate excrement, but she can't tolerate the blood, the smell of the blood. That is that bad. So you can pick up one of those things. So you will see in the meditation, in the 32 parts, there is something that I can actually see. This part is so, you know, my mind going to a certain level when I look at this particular part, and I'm going to a strong concentration. And then you expand upon that one to everybody in the world. Take that particular thing and expand. So then the meditation grows and your mind sort of lift up. So the perception of unattractiveness is the asubha sanya. And when the Petakopadesa, for example, says the perception of unattractive, sometimes translated as ugliness, foul nature, the perception of unattractive does not become established in one for whom delighting in color, shape and believing in beauty in the body, it remains concealed. If someone actually think about the color, shape and the beauty in the body, if someone believe that there's the beauty in the body, and someone delighting in color, someone delighting in the shape of the body, then the perception of unattractiveness, this asubha sanya, does not become established. So you can see those three are the things that one get hold of. These things, the excrement is underneath, the urine, the saliva, all those things are underneath. But one would actually not pursue in those, one would pursue the color, the shape. And then that person is believing in the beauty of the body. You know, imagine that the excrement, and you are imagining that the excrement is beautiful. It's something like that. It's nothing more than that. It is exactly that one, but it is concealed in the mind because one is actually saying, oh, this is beautiful. So the first one is the perception of unattractiveness. The second one is marana sanya, perception of death. Third one is ahara patikulita sanya, perception of loathsomeness of food. And the fourth one is the sabaloki anubhirata sanya, perception of distaste for every world. Anicca sanya, perception of impermanence. Anicca dukkha sanya. So you see, anicca dukkha, the perception of suffering in what is impermanent. The other one is dukkha anatta sanya, the perception of not self in what is suffering. Dukkha anatta sanya, the perception of unattractive when developed and pursued is of great fruit. Of great benefit, it gains a footing in the deathless, as the deathless as its final end. Thus, so it is said in the reference to what was it said. What when a monk's awareness often remains steeped in the perception of the unattractive, that is asubha sanya, his mind shrinks away from the completion of the sexual act, bends away, pulls back, and is not drawn in. And either equanimity or loathing take a stance. Just as a cock's feather or a piece of tendon, when thrown into a fire, shrinks away, bends away, pulls back, and is not drawn in the same way, when monk's awareness often remains steeped in perception of unattractive, his mind shrinks away from the completion of the sexual act, bends away, pulls back, and is not drawn in, and either equanimity or loathing take a stance. So if someone is perceiving in that way, so that's the result of that මෛතුන ධම්ම සමාපත්තිය. ධම්මා සමාපත්තිය. If when a monk's awareness often remains steeped in the perception of the unattractive, his mind inclines to the completion of the sexual act. Or if non-loathing takes a stance, then he should realize, I have not developed the perception of the unattractive. There is no step-by-step distinction in me. I have not arrived at the fruit of development. In that way, he is alert there. So if someone is having these thoughts, going into these thoughts, then that person should be aware of that one. And if he is aware, then he actually understands this meditation hasn't done much to me because I have not done it well. But if when a monk's awareness often remains steep in the perception of that unattractive, his mind shrinks away from the completion of the sexual act, bends away, pulls back, and is not drawn in, and either equanimity or loathing take a stance, then he should realize, I have developed the perception of the unattractive. There is a step-by-step distinction in me. I have arrived at the root of mental development. In that way, he is alert there. So the mindfulness establishing that way. The perception of unattractive when developed and perceived is of great fruit, of great benefit. It's a gaining, a footing in the deathless, as the deathless has its final end. Thus, so it is said in reference to this verse it said. So, you can see the first one was the same, how important to develop this perception of unattractive asubha sanya, the part, the meditation that we did today. Because you can go into the fourth dhyana level from this meditation alone, if you are doing it right. That one has to apply it to oneself and to the others, and generalize that way to all the other people. One that you would think that beautiful and colorful and so on. And then if you think that the shape is good, that when you think about the shape, just use excrement and put that excrement in a socks or something, in a piece of thing, and you change the colors, shape. You would see that this is disgusting thing that I am actually describing. Shape it like that one. Then you would see, this is what we are talking about. That's what Buddha said, that take it as a sack full of these grains, sack full of this excrement. And you change it this way, that way, and then if you really see what is underneath it, you wouldn't do that to the excrement, would you? Putting it under some sort of a cloth and then changing the shape of that one. Just imagine, I have done this one in my meditation. When you do that one, you completely get out of that. This sort of thoughts, you know, the thoughts about the inclinations. So the Buddha's examples are always, they are so beautiful. Buddha has said it with a complete understanding. He understands this is a full of, you know, a sack full of these things. That this sack is the skin. It's made of this skin. So, and then the opening two ends from here and the bottom. You can see. Buddha used that example. The grains, the sack containing opening two ends. So you can see what are the two ends. So just if you think somebody is beautiful and in good shape, and just put excrement in a cloth and change the shape. And you need to do that one. Otherwise, sort of your mind is going back to these things. Nothing more than that. And then the second one, Buddha said, the perception of death, when developed and pursued, is of great fruit, of great benefit. It gains voting in the deathless, as the deathless has its final end. Thus what was it said, in reference to what was it said. Marana sanya, vikvai bhavita bahulikata mahapala hoti mahani sansa, amuto gata, amuto pariho samti, itiko panita uttam kintam, kintam paticca uttam. When a monk's awareness often remains steeped in the perception of death, his mind shrinks away from fervor for life. That is, if someone wants to, has a desire to live, that desire keeps away. If you are dying, would you want to live? Would you want to think about living? Bends away, pulls back, and is not drawn in, and neither equanimity or loathing take a stance. So this is the jivita kantiya chittan. Jivita kantiya, that's the word. Just as a cock's feather, Buddha gives the same example. If you put a cock's feather into a fire, just shrink away, because it won't last over there. Like that one, if someone do this meditation, then he will get the mind shrinks away from fervor for life, bends away, pulls back, and is not drawn in, and either equanimity or loathing take a stance. If when monk's awareness often remains steeped in the perception of death, his mind inclines to fervor for life, or if non-loathing take a stance, then he should realize, I have not developed the perception of death. There is no step-by-step distinction in me. I have not arrived at the fruit of development. In that way, he is alert there. But if when monk's awareness often remains steeped in the perception of death, his mind shrinks away from the fervor for life, bends away, pulls back, and is not drawn in, and either equanimity or loathing take stance, then he should realize, I have developed the perception of death. There is a step-by-step distinction in me. I have arrived at the fruit of mental development. In that way, he is alert there. So, you can see, if you have the perception of death contemplated, then we will think that I don't want to live. I don't want to, keep going in to another birth. It's the same. You got one which is dying, you know, the people are, you know, becoming old and going to die. And if we are mindful about this, then we wouldn't want to have another birth. Basically, that's the stopping of this thing. The perception of death, when developed and perceived, is of great fruit, of great benefit. It gains a footing in the deathless, as the deathless as its final end. That's what is said in reference to what this was it said. And so the third one is the perception of loathsomeness in food. When developed and perceived, is of great fruit, of great benefit. It gains footing in the deathless, as the deathless as its final end. The ahari patikulutasana, about the loathsomeness. When a monk awareness often remains steeped in the perception of loathsomeness in food, his mind shrinks away from the craving for flavors. If you have that one, then you wouldn't have the craving for flavors. Bends away, pulls back, and is not drawn in, and either you can endure loathing take a stance. You see, when we take food and we put into our mouth, and then you bite it, and if you pull it out, then you can see it's mixed up with saliva and how it is. Nobody wants to watch it. Now think that this disgusting thing is inside your stomach. And while it is inside your stomach, well, you are happy. You don't, you know, you are seeing, so I got a full of stomach and sort of thing. But if you vomit, then you would see a real nature. If you vomit, you can actually see your eye, you don't want to see that. You close your eyes or you wash it away. So I rejected that part. And then you don't want to sort of hear somebody talking about this vomit, you know, somebody has vomited. One doesn't want to, you know, the mind becomes upset about it. And I have seen some people, a little girl was actually vomiting, and there was a woman next to me, and then she straight away got some clothes, and her mouth was, you know, it's like she's vomiting, covering it and looking at the other way around, and I was watching both. That little girl was in front of me. I was not upset about that. And I was watching that incident and this one, and then how people are behaving. It's that bad. Some people can't tolerate. So where is it? It's inside our stomach. And then the smell. You can see, if you look at this, after vomiting, you don't want to use your nose over there. So your nose rejected that one as well. And then, would you touch it? You wouldn't touch vomit. You would wash your hand. You don't want to do that. So, you don't want to put your tongue over there either, taste it. So you can see these five, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and the body all project this thing. And where is it? It's inside that one. Inside your stomach, and they become excrement. And while it's going down, you can see this juice extracted. That juice is going to the bloodstream. And so you can see we have the canals inside our body, the veins, carrying these things. The blood. And going to hair. So if you link them together, now this meditation and that, this meditation we just did, you see we have this hair of the body, nails, teeth, all those things. So the blood is going everywhere to those things. So if the blood is this bad, what about the things that are made out of those things? So if you have the perception about the blood is this nature, blood is bad, and then the pipelines all over my body and has got this thing pumping here and there, and then you can actually see then not only hair, the nails, teeth, skin, everywhere it is touched by this blood. Otherwise it will die. So same that disgusting thing that you wouldn't like to touch, smell or taste is now getting this spreading everywhere. And if you think with such a body that this is beautiful, this is so good and so on, then it's nothing else more than the stupidity. Buddha said in the Vijaya Sutta, if someone is arrogant, because of this body, I have such and such a body, a tall body, big body, beautiful body and so on, they all talk about the excrement. Nothing more than excrement. So, having spoken about the excrement, one would become arrogant. I mean, only a maniac can do that. So, the whole thing, you see, if someone is arrogant, you can see they are arrogant about this excrement, nothing else. Completely on that one. If someone thinks it's that way, so he will be released in proper way. Because that person wouldn't take any of these things as mine. This is beautiful, this is good. Because when you get the perception of that is subhasanya, that this is beauty and so on, it's not foul, then there is this, the next perception come to arise that this is pleasurable. When that perception comes that is pleasurable, then one would regard as mine. But if you first see the foul nature, then the pleasure does not come to arise. If the pleasure does not come there, consciousness does not get established over there, then the mind making wouldn't be there. One wouldn't regard this as mine. If one is not actually taking these things as mine, then he actually will destroy this identity that this I am, this is mine. So this one can go into the attainment from this meditation if someone is doing rightly. It's that powerful.
Conceit
will be gone. Because what are we conceit about? Nobody is conceit about your mind because they can't see it. What we see is just this body with a cloth wrapped around it. Or you got a beautiful cloth, but that cloth is not even that person's. It's made from cotton or something else, right? So we are completely talking about rubbish. It's just excrement. But not understanding the excrement as excrement, in the sense it's as patavi, the element of extension as element of extension, not understanding it, one would go into greater detail and make up a world of on his own. And think that I am beautiful, I am such and such, and so on. And that conceit is, spinning, that is going through the third path in that diagram.
These seven perceptions are against the perception we normally have. For example, if we see a beautiful, whatever the person, and so we have a perception that that is beautiful, this is nice or something like that, and which is a delusion or something like that, but the quality is a delusion. And so we need to develop something against that one, which are these seven things, isn't it?
Yep, if you develop these seven, then nothing will last. This is for the Nibbana. It's actually starting point is 32 paths. It depends on these 32 paths. You talk about the food. Depending on 32 paths, you're talking about this touching. Depending on the 32 paths, you talk about this, the pleasure because of the food, pleasure because of the touching or anything like that. And all the troubles because of that. And Buddha is asking, would it be fitting for you to regard this trouble as mine? Basically, that's what it is. This is impermanent and it is suffering, completely suffering nature. And this particular one, would it be fitting for you to regard as mine? That is the last part. When it is suffering, that dukkhe anatta sanya. If it is suffering, would you regard this as mine? If it is impermanent, then it is subject to suffering. So if it is suffering, would you be regarding this as mine? Completely this food, edible food, a person or whatever thing it is. The whole story about this, wrap around this thing, nothing else.
But when I did the meditation, what happened was when I contemplate about the vegetable part, and I went to to the Lala, the
death here.
Death thing. And so I saw that everything that going to until what is this? Paramidhatu.
Element of extension.
Yeah, element of extension. And during that time, I saw that this is a this body. Is become one stage, it becomes a food of about 1,000 other worms, and so it's like that we think about this, and it's a pleasure and it's good, and but it became a food of some other animals out there.
Yeah, that's what happened, isn't it? Mm-hmm. After death, you can see your body, nobody wants it, your parents don't want it, your children don't want it, the husband doesn't want it, the wife doesn't want it, nobody wants it. And they want to throw it away. They can't keep it. It's like that. Then when it goes down, then the animals are eating. While living also, animals are eating. It's just a food chain. Okay, we will stop for today then.